We're here today to interview Wolfgang Knöppel. Wolfgang works as a consultant for Synteca, a leading consultancy for organizational development and change management. In his role, he mainly works with clients in Asia and Germany. Wolfgang worked for Bosch for over 40 years before he retired in 2012. During this time, he's held various positions in sales and internal communication in Germany, the Philippines, Canada, and China, before he retired from the position of Director Organizational Development and SIP. During this interview, we would like to learn more about his work and responsibility and his experience with presentations in an international setting. Wolfgang, thank you very much for taking the time for the interview.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. So first of all, could you please describe your responsibilities and role during your work life?
I started off with Bosch as a trainee, mainly in sales and marketing. And this brought me to the Philippines after I concluded my traineeship at the tender age already, my early 20s.
Okay.
And I lived there for 5 years, and it was the most exciting time because it was the first venturing out into the world. Later on, I changed business units because that's part of the assignments that you are getting in this company, that you are changing business units from automotive. I ventured into the movie camera business because we originally had that from the beginning of the 30s.
Okay.
And mostly worked in Asia Pacific on this topic. Later on, I joined automotive again, and that brought me to Canada. I was sales manager for the automotive aftermarket in Canada for Bosch for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then something occurred in my life that I got in touch with a topic that came to Bosch in the early 90s, which was CIP, Continuous Improvement Process. And with that, I ventured into organizational development, bringing people together, moderating groups, training groups, and problem solving in bringing about better organizations with the target of aiming for business excellence.
Okay.
I really went out of sales and marketing, and I concentrated on doing that. And in the year 2005, I was asked to go to Asia Pacific and to do organizational development, training, moderation, workshops, retreats, etc. in Asia Pacific, which I did until I retired from Bosch at the in the year 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was invited to join a consultancy company, and I'm working ever since for them,
okay,
both in Asia Pacific as well as in Germany or in Europe, I would say,
okay,
supporting groups and people with training, consultation, and moderation.
Okay, perfect. This is wonderful because today's topic is the topic of presentations, especially presentations in international background. So the first question I have for you, Wolfgang, is do you believe there are typical or classic errors that are made in presentations to international audiences?
If you're talking about international or national audiences, I wouldn't make much difference. I think
they are just
basic mistakes which are being made ever so often, in different degrees though.
Yeah, okay.
I see a lot of mistakes made with Beamer presentations, for example. Beamer presentation is something that I'm almost fighting against,
okay,
because of drawn curtains, of dimmed lights, and people tend to doze away after a little while, especially if one of the major mistakes is made, and that's that the presenter is continuing to read Beamer presentation foil after foil, overhead after overhead, too much text, too few pictures, not enough interruptions in between, and no invitation to the participants to really digest what it is all about, and to ask back questions, or even be invited to discuss in smaller group contents of the presentations, and based on that, ask questions.
Okay.
So I'm really not very fond of Beamer presentations.
Okay, but you would say this is an international problem then, so it's not a cultural based problem, but this happens in a presentation in Germany, in China, or in the Philippines.
With a slight degree of changing this a little bit.
Okay.
I see that Europeans make too much mistakes in having too much text, too few pictures, whereas Anglo or like my Canadians or the Americans tend to work more with pictures, and because of their upbringing in schools, they are already adjusted and trained in giving presentations. And you see that particularly when you look at conventions, for example, the typical luncheon speaker who will deliver a speech and make a presentation after lunch, they will be usually very exciting because they deliver pictures, they deliver stories that tell something about themselves, and they tell something about the story that they want to bring over. That makes a big difference. So we are here on this side, Europe, for example, we are too technical. We have too much content. It's often boring stuff and too much text, and people are just reading it. The Anglos are more capable to deliver this in a more exciting and more, I would say, entertaining way.
Okay, I can see what you mean, and I agree with you, Wolfgang. However, looking at expectations people have of a presentation, wouldn't you still say that the German manager would expect a fact-based presentation with a lot of slides and a lot of facts, and wouldn't be happy with a more entertaining presentation from an Anglo customer or colleague?
Well, that's exactly what I would subscribe to, because the German audience would probably expect a more fact-based, figures, details type of presentation. Yet at the same time, people are often overdoing it by just bringing too much, number one, too many overheads. Again, like I said before, too much text and too many details. While it is almost an art of creating a presentation based on the, I would say, the vital facts, rather more is less, rather than the other way around. And we just are too overwhelming with what we are bringing into our presentations. Others tend to be a little better.
And that actually brings me to my next question, Wolfgang. If you were to give three important tips to Germans in what to do for a successful international presentation, what would your tips be?
Pictures, few text, few sentences, keywords, not entire sentences, because usually people can read much faster than you can speak. So it only needs a keyword, a buzzword, etc., a trigger for you, and makes a slide, an overhead, if you have to go via Beamer, makes it more visible, makes it more structured, makes it more easy to understand. I think that's most important. And then secondly, no presentations longer than 20 to 25 minutes. Because the time span for people to concentrate is getting shorter and shorter.
Studies rather, say 18 minutes these days.
And rather interrupt in between and ask questions, or like I mentioned before, what I do in my moderations, always at a certain point of time, after having delivered input, I will stop and I will form small groups of three or four people. And the few people are supposed to discuss what they have heard, and out of their little discussions, they come back to me and ask questions. And that gives much more meaningful presentations, because again, we Germans try to overstuff our people and impress them with a lot of details, with a lot of stuff, which is usually far too much.
Yes.
So I think there's a little secret to it, to really restrict yourself to the vital views, number one. Number two, interrupt in between. Form little groups, ask the people to discuss for 5 or 6 or 7 minutes, and then ask meaningful questions. In the end, you will answer more questions that way rather than with an overstuffed 50 minutes, boring slide presentation, and after the 55th slide, nobody is going to listening to you anyhow.
And then in the end, you ask, do you have any questions? And no one asks the questions because they're all asleep. Okay, so we would of course now like to hear, and you've already mentioned some parts, can you briefly describe a presentation that you attended which you believe was highly effective? Do you have an example of a highly effective presentation that you've attended? And of course, my question is, why did you like this presentation so much?
It brings me back a little bit to my work, and it's not a Beamer presentation. Mm-hmm. It's a pinboard presentation. Mm-hmm. And the pinboard presentation has a lot of advantages. Just imagine there are four or five or six pinboards. Again, fewer is better than more. And the presentation was held in such a way that the presenter was just moving from board to board, mm-hmm. which contained, like I described before, key triggers in forms of pictures, in forms of a few words. And without a piece of paper in front of him, he actually walked his talk, mm-hmm. his presentation, through the pin boards. Mm-hmm. And when he interrupted in between, and that made the presentation so exciting for all the spectators, for all the participants, he immediately asked questions mm-hmm. back. Did you understand mm-hmm. anything you would like to add from your experience, anything I should exploit more and tell mm-hmm. more? And that meant an interactive kind of mm-hmm. discussion together with this presenter. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we all had learned a lot, number mm-hmm. one, and number two, nobody fell asleep because the lights were bright,
yeah,
because the story yeah. and the presentation was on yeah. all of these boards continuously yeah. visible to all people.
Okay.
With an added benefit, if you have a Beamer presentation, just one slide, and you change to the next one, it's gone. The information mm-hmm. is gone. Mm-hmm. With a presentation on metaplan boards or pin mm-hmm. boards, as we call them, the information is continuously there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simple to make because yeah. you can work with a pen,
yeah.
you can work with a couple of cards, you can mm-hmm. work with pictures and cutouts,
yeah.
you can bring samples from your factory, from your business, mm-hmm. put them on a little table,
mm-hmm.
give them, hand them out to the people so they can touch, feel.
Mm-hmm.
Let us remember, yeah. a Beamer presentation only attracts two senses, the seeing and the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
While such a presentation where you can feel the product, where you can discuss and mm. talk, mm-hmm. you are actively involved and it's so much more exciting.
Yeah, and memorable.
And memorable, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the information is always there.
Yeah.
And you can jump back from one board to another because it's always mm-hmm. there and it's always visible.
Yeah. Super. Of course, I would also like to hear about a presentation, maybe one that was given in the Asian, somewhere in Asia, that you attended, which you believe was very ineffective. What was the problem with that presentation?
Yeah, I very vividly remember one given by a Japanese on the Bosch values.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that the Bosch values would be presented to an audience of about 50 people. First mistake again, it was all on Beamer.
Mm-hmm.
And the presenter read one value plus the explanatory sentences after another. And it took about 25 minutes, which in a sense would be okay mm-hmm. from a timing point
yeah.
of view, but people were asleep mm-hmm. after a very short period, and in a monotone voice, in a poor English,
mm-hmm.
it was just lost. Yeah, okay. It was just a waste
yeah.
of time
yeah.
for
yeah.
everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how to deliver mm-hmm. a presentation.
Mm-hmm. Where I'm sure the content would have been really, really interesting and important to the audience,
yeah.
but they didn't yep. walk away with it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just a nuisance. It was a pity.
Okay.
And the speaker did not do himself
okay.
a great favor
okay.
of delivering
okay.
it that
okay.
way. Yep.
Okay. But after the presentation, did he get feedback from someone about his presentation style? Or is it this is what is expected from the Japanese audience?
Well, in Japan, you will hardly ever get feedback. You're not supposed to ask
mm-hmm.
a question like, is anybody, you know, having mm-hmm. a question right now?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
People will look in all directions, but not in the direction
yes.
of the speaker.
The Japanese culture
yeah,
just doesn't
that's
allow
that's
that.
Just different.
Yeah.
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 yeah,
yeah. But it was a pity.
Yeah,
it was a pity.
It sounds like
yeah.
it, especially because the topic is super
yeah.
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfgang, I hate to say, we're already almost coming to an end. So my final question to you is, with regards to presentation in an international environment, is there anything else that you would like to add to our topic that you find important or interesting for our students?
Well, to summarize, what I would very much suggest is work a lot when you're giving presentations, work a lot with visuals.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a beamer, okay, mm-hmm. better work with pinboards mm-hmm. because of bright lights around you and people will not fall asleep. Be passionate mm-hmm. when you deliver mm-hmm. something. Don't read what people can read anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Just use the trigger words to tell little stories.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in yourself with your humanity, with fun mm-hmm. and a bit of laughter, because if people can laugh, they will remember.
Mm-hmm.
So bring pictures, emotions, passion together. Be simple with
mm-hmm.
your words.
Mm-hmm.
Concentrate on the vital fuse
mm-hmm.
and avoid buzzwords as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger words are fine, but
yeah,
buzzwords,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that everybody
yeah,
talks about,
yeah, yeah.
They're just superfluous.
Yeah. Could you give us an example for our students? What's the difference between a buzzword and a trigger word?
A trigger word is something you cannot tell a story
mm-hmm.
on, and a buzzword is just what's running the mainstream.
What's in the media.
Yeah, everybody
yeah.
talks about agility,
yeah.
and
yeah.
so people think they have to put it in,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, unless you have content to explain it very well, just leave such words out, which are just
yeah.
mainstream and everybody is using
yeah.
it. People are just sick and tired
yeah.
of these
yeah.
things.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Uh-huh.
Wolfgang, thank you very much for taking the time for the interview. It was very interesting to learn about your experience in a global business environment.
Okay, thank you very much too.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.